life gets messy. Spills, stains, and kid chaos. But with Anabe, cleaning up is easy. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you never have to stress about messes again. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Get early access to Black Friday pricing right now. Sofas start at just $699. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The news from Europe is at odds. Emmanuel Macron's refusal to rule out sending Western troops to Ukraine, writes Newsweek, has exposed deep divisions with France's traditional partner, Germany, which could play into the hands of Russians, according to analysts. I go immediately to Mark Montgomery and John Hardy of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing about what needs to be done to continue to defend Ukraine. But we begin with this debate in NATO about ground troops or troops in some fashion, presented by Mr. Macron after a meeting in Paris of the principals of NATO. Admiral Montgomery, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. There certainly is a lot of stirring around in Europe. How do you measure Emmanuel Macron's remarks? Was this meant to be provocative, suggestive? Is it where we're going, Admiral? Good evening to you.
Well, John, thank you very much for having me. And it's a real honor to be here with John Hardy, who's probably one of the most prolific writers on Ukraine support and ammunition over the last 2 years. You know, to get very directly to your question, but I hope Macron was just being provocative, because this is not a realistic way forward. And in fact, it jeopardizes our ability to pass much needed supplementals through the U.S. Congress when they hear talk like this. There's absolutely no intention of NATO or NATO countries entering into ground combat in Ukraine. To imply, provoke, think deep thoughts about is really inappropriate. What we need to do is provide the equipment, the munitions, and the training that the Ukrainians desperately need to defeat this Russian invasion, and to do so on the terms that Joe Biden set way back in February of 2022.
And we come to the battlefield right now, reported in the Institute of Study of War. Russian forces are attempting to exploit tactical opportunities offered by the Russian seizure of Avdiivka, reports the ISW, and appear to be maintaining a relatively high tempo of offensive operations aimed at pushing as far as possible in the Avdiivka area before Ukrainian forces establish more cohesive defensive lines. John, I come to you because this is battlefield where the weapons are needed. Is your measure right now, the Ukrainian forces falling back and this increased tempo by the Russian forces, is this related in some fashion to, one, the debate in NATO about ground forces and the provocation that would bring of Russian Federation, and two, the reluctance of Congress to follow through on the request? Are the Russian generals reading the news, John, in your measure? Good evening to you.
Thanks, John, for having me. And Mark, thanks for the kind words. Yes, so Ukraine, after withdrawing from Avdiivka in mid-February, Russia's taken a handful of additional villages just west of that city. It's a small city near Donetsk, and runs near an important logistics route for Russia. And behind it is basically operational space that Russia would seek to gain in order to fulfill their objective of taking the rest of the Donbas. So at present, the Russians have continued to press past the Avdiivka. The state of their forces is fairly low in terms of quality. And so I don't think they're going to really make a ton of progress. But yeah, Ukraine has had the difficult task of falling back to the defensive lines that by all accounts, weren't very well prepared prior to the withdrawal, and trying to defend low-lying territory just west of the city of Avdiivka. Amid, as you said, a shell hunger that's been exacerbated by the delays in U.S. aid, as well as heavy Russian bombing and heavy Russian artillery, fueled in part by a really large supply of shells from North Korea.
And Admiral, is it your measure now that the advances by the Russians are redoubled because of the delay of adequately supplying the Ukrainian forces?
Absolutely, John. You hit it just on the head. The failure to provide the supplemental, which will lead to immediate, you know, very rapid infusion of artillery rounds into Ukraine. Because here's the deal. We're still delivering things. We're delivering things that were ordered under Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative 2 years ago, 1 year ago, 6 months ago. Those kind of systems are still flowing in because it took time to build them. And almost all the stuff's built, and, you know, 95% of it's built in the United States to be delivered over there. But what could happen right now is if they authorize this money, there could be a significant drawdown again against U.S. artillery shells, and they could be on their way, and that would make a significant difference. Right now, to my knowledge, and John can correct me, I think it's about a 10-to-1 artillery exchange rate between Russians and Ukrainians on the front line. That's obviously suboptimal for Ukrainian forces. John and I have written recently that there are ways we could even get them artillery rounds now outside of the supplemental. But I want to concentrate on the fact that we need to pass the supplemental for Ukraine, for Israel, for Taiwan, but really at a very urgent level for Ukraine right now.
Yes, let's use the technical language. John, what is a PDA and how does it apply to the present concerns?
So PDA, Presidential Drawdown Authority, is basically where the United States takes weapons, equipment, munitions from our stocks, existing stocks, and donates them to another country. And so that's a very quick way to get stuff to a partner in need like Ukraine. As Mark mentioned, there's another vehicle called USAI, Ukraine Security Assistance Initiative, but that requires buying new stuff that's built by industry. So that takes time. So PDA is really the way that we satisfy Ukraine's immediate needs through regular deliveries of artillery ammunition, air defense interceptors, et cetera. Because the Pentagon ran out of money to replace that stuff back in December, that's when the PDA tranches stopped. The thing is that the Pentagon still has about $4 billion worth of PDA authority, meaning it can still donate $4 billion worth of equipment, munitions, et cetera. It just doesn't currently have the money to replace it. What Mark and I have argued is that we can go ahead and tap that remaining PDA authority to send stuff that we either don't really need or that we can wait to replace, things like cluster munitions for artillery that our commanders are discouraged from using per U.S. policy, or, you know, old armor personnel carriers, you know, like M113s that we're trying to replace. We have a ton of them in storage. Things like that would make a big difference for Ukraine now, and that won't compromise U.S. readiness.
So the PDA is available to draw. And Admiral, I come to you. Is this now wandering into politics? If you draw the PDA, that gives some wiggle room to Congress and doesn't increase the pressure on them to fund people running out of shells. Is that what the PDA will do? Give them a pass?
So it shouldn't. So John and I argue pretty convincingly, I think, that this is a short-term thing. If we transfer these rounds, the cluster munition rounds, artillery rounds, will be gone in weeks. You know, if half that PDA went to that, it'd be gone in weeks or a month. And then they'd be right back at the table saying, we need that $40 billion. And let's again remember, we need that $40 billion worth of gear, 95% of which will be spent, if not higher, maybe 99% of which will be spent. That money never leaves America. It goes to Florida, goes to Texas, goes to Georgia, goes to Arkansas. It is spent, goes to Michigan. It goes to U.S. states where our production facilities either for pre-PDA buy back stuff that the Army transferred or Air Force transferred, or in the case of USIA, go directly, you know, is shipped to U.S. European Command in Stuttgart for further transfer to Kiev. So that $40 billion needs to be appropriated in the National Security Supplemental. What we did was say, look, if it's really extremists, like the White House is saying, let's go ahead and put a little bit of insurance down here, use that last $4 billion worth of PDA, not get it replaced, knowing that we don't really need those weapons, or that we can wait a few months to get the order back in. We still need the supplemental, John. That is the number, that and the 12 budget proposals are the number one job that our government has in front of it today.
John, if I understand correctly, we have hundreds, maybe thousands of armored personnel carriers that are being retired and replaced. And we have 3 million rounds of ammunition that sounds extremely lethal, DPICM. That's available to go now, John? That could be in the battlefield in weeks?
Right. So the PIC guns, the cluster munitions for Ukraine's Western supplied artillery systems, we had about 3 million reportedly prior to last year, which was when we started sending to pick them to Ukraine. I think we still have a very large amount. And as I said, Pentagon policy discourages U.S. commanders from using them, especially the ones that have a dud rate above 1%, meaning over 1% of the submunitions within the round are expected not to work. So those older, less quality Dupicum rounds could be sent to Ukraine, in my opinion, without harming U.S. readiness. As far as the armored personnel carriers, yeah, my understanding is we have thousands, maybe as many as 8,000 M113s. These are old Vietnam-era armored personnel carriers sitting in storage. We have a couple thousand more maybe that are fielded by U.S. forces, in active service, but we're replacing those. So between that large pool, in my opinion, we could afford to spend to give a lot to Ukraine without hurting U.S. readiness at all. Even if we have to wait, as Mark said, a couple of months to put the order to replace them.
Admiral, you have experience.
For those, we probably won't replace them.
Admiral, you have experience over many decades about the U.S. national security. Is this unprecedented to your knowledge that the U.S. is watching an ally fall back because they're out of ammo?
Right. 1975, at some point, we abandoned the South Vietnamese and watched their collapse. And I would consider that the most traumatic event in the history, in the modern history of the U.S. Army. Had shattering effects on national security for a decade, impacted U.S. domestic politics. So, this is not a good place to be. The Congress needs to pass a supplemental. The executive branch needs to go ahead and spend this $4 billion in PDA. We need to help Ukraine build the defensive systems it's going to need. So many good things are about to happen, John. 40-plus F-16s will be in that country either by the end of 2024 or the beginning of 2025. If we give them this $40 billion, they'll have the artillery they need. They have an opportunity here to reset themselves, train their men and women who are fighting, for 4, 6, 8 weeks in U.S. training facilities and NATO training facilities, and really restore themselves to that fighting capability that in 2025 – we'll put Vladimir Putin on his heels. That's how we have to look at this. But if we don't do this $40 billion right now, we jeopardize that and we put Putin in the driver's seat. We need to take action.
I want to make sure that the younger people, Mark, understand us. The Congress chose not to continue the Vietnam needs in 1974-75. What followed was the U.S. hasty withdrawal, chaos, leaving South Vietnam, Saigon fell, and what followed that were the killing fields of Cambodia.
That's correct. I mean, one of the most, shameful episodes in American national security history, and we certainly don't want to repeat it.
Rear Admiral Mark Montgomery, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, John Hardy, FDD. We're going to continue with the battlefield, back to Avdiivka, and what is happening without adequate ammunition. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
This is Matt Rogers from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
This is Bowen Yang from Las Culturistas with Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang.
Hey, Bowen, it's gift season.
Ugh, stressing me out. Why are the people I love so hard to shop for?
Probably because they only make boring gift guides that are totally uninspired. Except for the guide we made.
In partnership with Marshalls, where premium gifts meet incredible value.
It's giving gifts! With categories like best gifts for the mom whose idea of a sensible walking shoe is a stiletto.
Or best gifts for me that were so thoughtful I really shouldn't have.
Check out the guide on marshalls.com.
And gift the good stuff at Marshalls.
We know no one's journey is the same. That's why Delta SkyMiles moves with you. From earning miles on reloads for coffee runs, shopping, and things you do every day, to connecting you to new experiences. A SkyMiles membership fits into your lifestyle, letting you do more of what makes you, you. It's more than travel. It's the membership that flies, dines, streams, rides, and arrives with you. Because when you have a membership that's as unique as you are, there's no telling where your journey will take you next. Learn more at delta.com/skymiles.
Hey, it's me, your heart. Mind if I pick the next song? Listen, even though we're eating better, people who've had one heart attack are at higher risk of another. But Repatha Evolocumab plus a statin lowers LDL-C, our bad cholesterol, and our heart attack risk. So let's talk to our doctor about Repatha.
Do not take Repatha if you're allergic to it. Serious allergic reactions can occur. Get medical help right away if you have trouble breathing or swallowing, swelling of the face, lips, tongue, throat, or arms. Common side effects include runny nose, sore throat, common cold symptoms, flu or flu-like symptoms, back pain, high blood sugar, and redness, pain, or bruising at the injection site. View the important safety information in our banner. Listen to your heart. Ask your doctor about Repatha.